Our first reading from verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was written a notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews."
Thanks, Graham. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. My name's... Moving aside from that at the moment, in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to commemorate Anzac Day. When you think about it, it's quite a strange day to commemorate. Essentially, the Anzac operation in Gallipoli was a failure. Soldiers fought and lived and died under incredible pressure and danger. And Anzac Day is not a celebration of their victory, but it's a commemoration of the kind of character that was exposed in them in the hard conditions that they faced. We really hold up these things, don't we? The character of mateship, of tenacity, of resilience. How we respond when we're under pressure tells us a lot about who we are. How we respond when things are hard and going against us and we're in danger or despair, how we respond, it gives us a window into who we really are. I think we see this, we know this is true, even on the day-to-day. You're in traffic, someone else cuts in and they don't wave. Don't you feel angry? This, you might be stressed, you're running late for a meeting or something, you're trying to get somewhere, someone cuts in, and your response is, what's inside? It's a bit of anger comes out. That other person didn't make you angry. The anger was there. It was revealed through what is a minor stressful situation. But when we face big challenges and big dangers, what comes out of us shows what's in our heart. It shows what's really there inside of us. And on Good Friday, we commemorate the execution of Jesus. It's another strange thing to commemorate, isn't it? His execution, his crucifixion, however, gives us a window into the heart of Jesus. When we see him hanging on the cross and we read about him, we get to see what's deep inside of him. And it's more than endurance, it's more than mateship. When we see the crucifixion of Jesus, we see his heart for people like you and like me. So this morning, we're going to work through the account of the crucifixion in three short sections. And you might be new with us today. You've never really considered this. Maybe you heard about the life and death of Jesus years ago at school or in just some other circumstance of life. I'm so glad that you're here today. You made the right choice. I want you to hear the words of Jesus that come out of his mouth. I want you to see the things that motivate him to be willing to die. And if maybe you've been here, you've been hearing these things, I guess none of you, no one here has been 100 Easters. Some of you are close. But many of you have been hearing this many, many times. And it is so good to hear it again. What we're going to see this morning are three windows. Some of them are going to be like windows into the heart of Jesus. And one of them is a window into our own heart. I guess that's more of a mirror, isn't it? To see what we think and believe. But the first off, we're going to see Jesus' heart of forgiveness. Jesus has been teaching at this point and healing for about 3 years. He's been preaching about God's kingdom. He's shown himself to be God's Messiah, God's King. He's shown himself over and over again to be the one that God had promised to bring hope and peace and justice and life and salvation to the world. And as he's gone around doing this, he's stepped on the toes of the religious leaders of his day. He's exposed their hypocrisy. He's exposed their greed. And when people see Jesus and they see the religious leaders of the day, it's like chalk and cheese. He is beautiful in what he offers, and they are ugly in what they offer. And so the religious leaders of his day have him arrested. They have him tried at a fake trial. They have him sentenced to death. And that's where our account picks up this morning. We read of Roman soldiers leading Jesus and two criminals out to be executed. They take Jesus, they nail him down to planks of wood in the shape of a cross, and then they stand it upright and leave him there to asphyxiate to death. And as he's there, hanging on the cross, naked, the crowd around him is mocking him, jeering him, yelling out at him, cursing him. They're saying things like, he's the King of the Jews, or aren't you meant to be the Savior? Can't even save yourself, you loser. And everyone is laughing at Jesus and mocking him. And they put a sign above him saying, this is the King of the Jews. What a pathetic king to be hanging naked and mocked. It's this moment that is the moment of his greatest humiliation, the moment of his greatest hurt and danger and trauma. And what he does here in this moment will show us what's in his heart. And what does Jesus do at this very moment? If you've got Bibles with you, have a look there at Luke 23, verse 34. What does Jesus say when the crowd around are jeering and mocking? He says, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Isn't that incredible? Can you imagine how you'd feel if the crowd around were mocking and laughing at you and spitting on you and hating you? How would you feel? You just want to lash out in rage. But in the very heart of Jesus, we see his love for forgiveness. He is driven by forgiveness. He has a heart that longs to forgive. He even longs to forgive the very people who are responsible for his death. He longs to forgive his executioners. He longs to forgive those who are falsely accusing him. Even as they mock him and spit him and he hangs naked before them, he asks his Father to not call down fire on them, not to obliterate them. He asks his Father to forgive them. Do you hear this? What is the worst thing that you've ever done? What are the things that haunt the back of your mind that you can't shake? The things that you have said, or the things that you've done, the things that you've thought that make you feel absolutely ashamed. Things that you might have done that hurt other people or hurt yourself. What is the thing in your past that you cannot shake? The baggage that you carry around that makes you feel the most guilty and ashamed? I can guarantee you it wasn't executing Jesus, the Son of God. And if Jesus' heart leads him to forgive the people who were executing him, then he is willing to forgive you. Proper forgiveness. A washing away of the shame and the guilt that burdens us. That's what's at Jesus' heart. That's what he wants. He longs to forgive. Do you hear this? If Jesus is willing to forgive his executioners, he's willing to forgive you. In fact, that's the whole reason he's hanging there on the cross, is because he came to forgive. This is the irony, the beautiful irony of what the soldiers and the leaders were saying. They're saying, you came to save, but you can't save others. He did come to save. That's why he didn't save himself. He could have. But he chose to allow them to execute him so that he could save the world and save you and save me and save anyone who comes to him asking for forgiveness. Because what's in the heart of Jesus? It's a heart that longs to forgive. We're going to pray a prayer of confession together. A prayer that brings the deepest, darkest things from our past and our baggage and our history, and it brings them to God. I mean, we can't hide them from him anyway. He knows. But it's bringing it to him, confessing to him, because he wants to forgive. He longs to forgive and to wash it clean. So let's pray this prayer together. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. We have followed our own ways and the desires of our own hearts. We have broken your holy laws. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind in Jesus Christ our Lord. And grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a godly and obedient life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The wonderful thing that we celebrate at Easter is that Jesus forgives those who call out to him for forgiveness, which we have just done. And in our next little segment, we'll see someone else who does exactly that. So we're going to read our second reading now. Thanks, Katie.
Just continuing in Luke 23. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
We've seen Jesus' heart of forgiveness, but now we see his heart of mercy, his heart of mercy. In this next section, we see two criminals hanging on crosses beside Jesus, one on one side, one on the other. We kind of met them at the first bit. We didn't hear much about them, but they were crucified alongside Jesus. And they're suffering the same humiliation as Jesus. They're suffering the same fate as Jesus. They are, in effect, equals together. And one of the criminals on one side looks across at Jesus and he mocks him. I guess he's probably heard some of the rumors about the things that Jesus claims to have said or done, the claims that people had made about Jesus. And he looks over at him and he sees that he's hanging there. He's naked and humiliated and dying. And he looks at him and he thinks, "What a load of bollocks. This man is no better than I am. We're suffering the same fate." And he looks at Jesus and he mocks him. He puts him down, which is, the irony here is extraordinary. he's in no better situation, but isn't that human nature? We want to push, someone is worse than us. And he looks at Jesus and like, yeah, this is the one guy on the planet who is worse off than me. But the other criminal on the other side looked at Jesus and saw something different. He heard Jesus ask his father to forgive the executioners. He got a glimpse of a window into the heart of Jesus, and he saw something extraordinary. He looked past this outer image of a bleeding, hanging, humiliated man, and he saw a heart that forgives, that longs to forgive, and he immediately knew, this is what I need. I need this. This is the thing I need most in the world. He didn't need a pardon from the Romans to maybe get their nail removers out and pull the nails out and get him down. He needed a last-minute pardon from God. And that's what Jesus offers. And so he calls out to the other criminal on the other side. See verse 40? He says, don't you fear God since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. He's saying, don't be stupid. Don't you recognize who this guy is, who this Jesus is? Don't you recognize his power and his authority and his love? Don't you recognize what he offers? He is absolutely righteous. He doesn't deserve to die. We're getting what we deserve. But Jesus doesn't deserve this. We deserve judgment. Our life of crime, it turns out it doesn't pay. But Jesus is getting what he doesn't deserve. And in that moment, this criminal turns to Jesus and he does effectively what we have just done. He confesses his unworthiness. He confesses his shame and his guilt and his sin, and he asks Jesus for a taste of his forgiveness and mercy. See verse 42? He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Give me some scrap of thought, Jesus. When you're in your kingdom in glory, I don't deserve anything from you, but will you please show me that one small speck of kindness? He knows there is no one else he can turn to. He has no other hope. He is at the end of the line. No one else is coming to rescue him, but he stands. He hangs beside the one who offers life after death. He hangs beside the one who offers forgiveness for his life of crime. He knows he doesn't deserve anything from Jesus, but he sees his heart and he begs for mercy. And Jesus responds with mercy. His heart of forgiveness is bound up with extraordinary mercy. Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. You're forgiven. Your life of crime. And you know what? This man could do nothing to earn himself this forgiveness. There's nothing he could do to make up for his life of crime. Sometimes we like to think there's this cosmic set of scales where God weighs the good stuff we do against the bad stuff we do. If we do enough of the good stuff, then maybe that'll tip it over and he'll be happy with us. That is absolute tosh. It's imaginary. It's fictional. There's no such thing as this cosmic set of scales. Everything that we would have, our lives are lived in rebellion against God. Everything is on the negative side. There's nothing on the positive. And Jesus looks at this man knowing that, knowing he doesn't deserve forgiveness, knowing he doesn't deserve life, and he says, I forgive you. That's the heart of mercy of Jesus, to forgive people who don't deserve it. You want to know how you can be forgiven? The only prerequisite to being forgiven by Jesus is knowing that you don't deserve it. Because he is the one who shows mercy to people who don't deserve it. He is the one who shows forgiveness to people who don't deserve it. And this is his heart for you. Do you hear this? This is what Jesus offers. We're going to reflect on this amazing mercy, this amazing grace, as we sing and as we pray together. Pray first, then sing.
Let's pray together in response to this amazing mercy that we have been shown, just as the criminal was. I believe the words will be on the screen. So let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, how we marvel at your grace and mercy. When we cry out to you, you hear us. When we ask you to remember us, when you come into your kingdom, you offer that certain promise of paradise. Lord, your grace and mercy exceed anything we might imagine. We come to you today, trusting in you and you alone. We come to you today, confident of your forgiveness and your love. So we pray, Lord Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Amen. And let's continue with this collect for Good Friday. Almighty Father, look graciously upon this, your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand and let's join in singing together about the amazing grace of our Saviour.